Hi again, everybody, and welcome to Aaron's Podcast, episode 147. Today is Monday, March 23rd, 2009. The phrase the end of the world has two very different meanings. The first is literally about the end of life, the end of the planet. And the other is more about distance, about traveling as far as you can without falling off the edge of the planet, because as we all know, the world is flat. Well, it's in that second sense that I'm going to talk about it today, because New Zealand is in the region of the world that's about as far as you can get from Europe and also North America as is possible. So, and that has certain implications, so I thought I would talk about that today. Before that, I have an indication of the first sense of the word, and before all of that, I have a special announcement. This week is, of course, my second anniversary week as a podcaster, and the second anniversary of the Aaron's Podcast is the end of the week. And I originally wasn't going to do anything particularly special about that. I've changed my mind. I've decided that this week I'm going to podcast every day. Yeah, I know. I haven't been able to podcast even twice a week, so what makes me think I could do it one every day? Well, it's a special occasion, isn't it? So I'm going to podcast today and tomorrow with Amarins, and Wednesday is a break. It's a Too Political podcast with Jason, and then I'm back for Thursday and Friday. And of course, Friday is my second anniversary episode. And because of all of this, it will also be my 150th episode of the Amarins podcast. So you've got something to look forward to this week. Lucky you. If you do want to send a message of congratulations or what have you, you have plenty of time to do so. You can ring my U.S. comment line, or you can send an email, and all of the contact details are at the end of this episode and also in the show notes. I've already received two, both of them very nice, and one of them was from someone who hasn't commented before, so that was lovely. But now on to today's topics. And the first about the sign of the end of the world, the coming apocalypse. And I can say it in one phrase. Cheese in aerosol cans. They have arrived in New Zealand for the first time. Now, when I talked about this, I don't know how it came up. When I first arrived in New Zealand, people thought I was mad that we would have such a thing in the U.S. And, I mean, when I was at university, I literally saw students spraying the cheese directly into their mouths. Mind you, they were drunk at the time, but still, I mean, you see this sort of thing in TV and movies, but I really saw it in real life. Now, I don't know if it was art imitating life or the other way around, but be that as it may, we have one friend in particular who is both shocked, appalled, and fascinated by this product, and it's now arrived in New Zealand shores. They say it's 100% real cheese inside the can. Yeah, right. And it apparently comes in different flavors. I'm not going to tell you the brand, not because I'm being mean or deliberate. It's because I can't remember it. It's like Mr. Cheese or something like that. I don't know. But the arrival of cheese in a can is either the sign of the impending apocalypse or it's a sign of impending American takeover of New Zealand. I'm not sure which. But in either case, it it has given rise to a certain number of jokes, usually at my expense. But that's okay. One of these days, I'm actually going to get a can and serve it up. Just out of spite. But on to the main topic today, which is about the being on the end of the world, or at the end of the world. Now, of course, it's all relative, because from New Zealand's perspective, we're at the center of the world, aren't we? But of course, both Australia and New Zealand were once British colonies, and from their perspective, we are on the other side of the world. But the thing is, in a real sense, we are. We're a long way from the markets of Europe and North America, and it's expensive to get our goods from here to there. And that affects, obviously, New Zealand's national wealth, as do volatile exchange rates. But nevertheless, New Zealand does really well exporting its products to the world, and even in a recession, things still sell. But there are implications going the other way, too, things coming into New Zealand. Things coming from Asia aren't necessarily any more expensive than in, say, the U.S. or Europe, sometimes even less because of shorter distances. But it's other things that you tend to notice when you come to New Zealand, particularly pop culture. Now, as we all know, America pretty much dominates the world in terms of pop culture, television, movies, music. New Zealand, of course, is a bit of a blend. Our television, pop music, to a lesser extent, movies, are a blend of New Zealand, Australia, US, UK, all sort of mishmashed together in interesting ways sometimes. For instance, there's no distinction in free-to-air television and pay television. They all show the same sorts of programs. and in some cases, it would be things you'd never see on free-to-air television in the U.S. Here on free-to-air television, we've had Sopranos, Sex and the City, Rick and Steve, all kinds of other things I can't think of off the top of my head. The British version of Queer as Folk was on free-to-air television. We never got the American version. But it's actually not so much that that you notice so much as what's missing, at least I did when I first arrived here. What typically happens is that programs will show up on New Zealand television sometimes months or years even after they aired in the U.S. Now, the years is a little less common, though. That's usually for things that had a short run and didn't make it. But the months very often is – that's more typical. Sometimes it's not quite so obvious. For instance, the TVNZ is currently running American Idol, and it's only about 3 weeks behind the U.S., I think it is, two or three weeks, I'm not really sure. And that's relatively close. Other times, however, they won't even start a program until it's several months into it or even longer. That has to do with a lot of different things. Part of it is marketing decisions that they make at the TV broadcaster based on the time of the year and when they think it's appropriate to play it and so on. But it does mean things that that we see, like the program will be having its Christmas program sometime in the middle of the year or something when it's totally the wrong time of year. But that's a little bit of an odd one. Most famously, probably for New Zealand viewers, is the British soap Coronation Street, which is, I believe, it's now the world's longest-running drama. It has been up to 6 to 8 months behind the UK, because it runs for, I think it's a half an hour every day in the UK or something like that. I'm not really sure. But here, it would run for about an hour or so once a week. And so the longer that goes on, the more it runs behind. Well, they started these catch-up things, and it is now only a few weeks behind the UK. It's still way behind, but not as much as it was. I don't know if they're going to continue doing this to get it all caught up or what the story is. But it's one example that certainly Britons have noticed when they've come to New Zealand, and it's something that Kiwis have certainly noticed. But I noticed it, of course, first with American programming that wasn't on here at all and only arrived sometime later. It used to be quite common for movies to debut here in New Zealand, oftentimes 6 months after they had already were already on video in the U.S. practically. And so again, some of that had to do with the year. The seasons being different, they didn't want to show a summer movie in the winter, for instance. Or if they felt it only appealed to young people, they would play it during school holidays. That sort of thing is becoming less common now, partly because of digital downloads, illegal downloads, I have to stress. Because since people can get the product anyway, there's no commercial advantage. As a matter of fact, there's a commercial disadvantage in holding the movie back. So very often what you'll see now is that a movie will debut simultaneously around the world, or sometimes by time zone, so we get it first. A good example of one coming up is the new Star Trek movie will open in New Zealand first and then through time zones throughout the world. The same thing is starting to happen as well with videos. It used to be that we wouldn't get the videos, obviously, until the movie had finished its run in the theaters. And by that time, it might have been available on video in the U.S. for the better part of a year. Well, iTunes Store New Zealand, now rents and sells movies. And that's sped things up a little bit. And again, it's the pressure from the illegal downloads, which is sort of tightening up that schedule. Because it doesn't really make sense in this day and age to have such different time release times for either theatrical films or for videos. And so that sort of thing is finally becoming less obvious. However, it is still there. But it's television where you notice it the most. And I can't tell you the number of times I've, say, listened to a podcast or read online or what have you, and people are talking about some movie they've just seen, and I know damn well it's not going to be here for weeks or months. And by that time, I just don't care anymore. But even more about television programs, and I have no idea what they're on about, because movies, at least, usually are hyped a bit before they're released. Television shows, very often, that doesn't happen, because since we don't get any of the American networks, we don't see any of the commercials, and unless there's an ad online somewhere, we're not going to even know it exists until people start talking about it. So that's a little bit not annoying exactly, but it's a bit frustrating, I guess, because we don't have access to that. Now, there is a way you can do that. There's this service that's called a Slingbox. And essentially what you do is you subscribe to an American cable network, and it has a DVR there, and it has this special device that sends the signal over the internet to your home where you download it and watch it in real time, as if you were sitting in an American living room. It's not cheap to do that. Bandwidth is expensive here. And also the speeds aren't quite what they need to be for optimal viewing yet. They're getting there. But I have heard of several people who have used that method. It's all perfectly legal because you are a legal customer in the U.S. of the cable provider, and you're just using an internet connection to view it in another spot. But you're not illegally downloading anything, which is an important thing to keep in mind because there are, as we all know, there are plenty of people who download programs, movies, music, whatever, illegally. But there are ways to do it, at least semi-legally. Now, there are some who might argue that because it wasn't licensed for this part of the world originally, that it may not be illegal, but there's never been a court case on that. So at this stage, it's still legal. So there are ways around some of this tyranny of distance for pop culture things, not so much for products, like books, for instance. Books are very expensive here, and our selection often isn't as good as it is in the U.S. Now, of course, you can order from Amazon.com. There are expenses involved with that. The shipping can be more. But if you combine your orders and get it just right, you can actually end up paying a lot less than you would pay for the same thing here in New Zealand. So there are ways around all of these things, I suppose. But the one thing that we still cannot change is the physical distance from here to there. If you move to New Zealand from Britain, you have to count on basically 2 days to get back by plane. If you live in the U.S., you have to count on a full day to get back, 24 hours. And then at this stage, there's no way around that. Someday, there may be suborbital flights, who knows, which would shorten the time dramatically. But for right now, it takes a very, very long time, and it's expensive. And so, as I said in a podcast a long time ago about being an expat, once you move to a place like this, this far away, you have to kind of figure that it's probably going to be several years before you get back. Now, your individual circumstances may be different. You might be able to afford to go more often. But even if you can, it's quite a physical toll on you to spend that much time and travel cramped up in an aluminum tube in the sky. It takes a lot out of you. And so even if you can afford to do that, if you can get the time off, if you can afford it financially, you may not want to because of the physical side of it as well. And that's not going to change anytime soon. And that is probably the main thing, more than products, more than pop culture, more than the people that you miss, is the expense of getting to them or getting them to see you. It is not an easy thing being on the other side of the planet. But unfortunately, it's something that just can't be avoided, at least not now. And that is, I suppose, what they call the tyranny of distance, being on the end of the world, or at the end of the world, in this case. But that's it for this Monday edition of the Emrins podcast. I will be back tomorrow. I have no idea what I'm going to talk about, and we'll just have to wait and see, won't we? So I'll be back tomorrow with day two of the Emrins podcast anniversary week extravaganza. You still have time to leave a message if you want. Have a great day, everyone. Bye. You can leave a comment on this or any other episode of the Emrins Podcast at emrinspodcast.com. You can send an email to me at Arthur, that's A-R-T-H-U-R, at emrinspodcast.com, or you can ring my U.S. comment line on 206-666-5172. This podcast is produced and distributed under Creative Commons license. Complete details at the website.